Have you ever longed to don the armor of a samurai and charge headlong into glorious battle? Well, I can't help you with that. However, I can offer you a themed t-shirt that will probably serve as a conversation starter with every third person or so. Check out the merch store at ahistoryofjapan.threadless.com for exclusive shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, phone cases, and full-length battle-ready katanas. Just kidding about that last one. Again, I can't help you there. Visit ahistoryofjapan.threadless.com today. Hello, and welcome to A History of Japan. Season 5, Episode 12. The Regent is Dead. Long live the Regent. It is a testament to his foresight that Fujiwara Yoshifusa's death did not result in a power vacuum. His nephew-slash-adopted son, Mototsune, had been rising through government posts in the Daijo Daikan and serving admirably in each position. In 864, he was made a sangi, or counselor. In 866, he served on the chunagon, or middle council. In 860, he was made dainagon, or vice-chancellor. And in 872, he was made udaijin, minister of the right, shortly before the death of his uncle-slash-adopted father. He also served in a variety of other positions, as well as occasional provincial governorships over the years. In early 873, just a year after Yoshifusa's death, he was elevated to another government post and named as Emperor Seiwa's Sessho, or regent. Now seems like a good time to take a closer look at Mototsune's family history. Briefly, I promise. Mototsune's natural father was Fujiwara Nagara, brother of Yoshifusa. Nagara was the eldest son of former Fujiwara power player Fuyutsugu, which is why it is believed that he led a frustrating career. His younger brothers Yoshifusa and Yoshimi quickly surpassed him in higher offices and overtook him in court rank. The unfortunate Nagara died in 856 during the reign of Montoku Tenno. Fujiwara Yoshifusa did Mototsune a great favor in adopting him and taking the young man under his wing. Now that he had attained the office of regent, Fujiwara Mototsune set about directing the course of state. Sansom describes him as a man of considerable talent and strength of character, and lists him as the first among the great Fujiwara autocrats. In late 876, Emperor Seiwa retired at age 27, and a few months later his son was elevated as the new Tenno. Emperor Yosei, as he would be remembered, was just 8 years old when he underwent coronation, which meant he needed a sessho, or regent, to govern in his stead. I will give you exactly one chance to guess who that regent would be. Mototsune, once more governing as sessho, was Emperor Yosei's uncle, as the boy's mother was Mototsune's sister. Trouble struck very quickly in the form of a massive drought that threatened the nation's food supply. Mototsune arranged for sacrifices to be made at the nearby Hachiman Shrine, as well as the Kamo Shrine and the Ise Grand Shrine. Rain eventually arrived, which probably seemed like an answer to those offerings, but it was too late to save many of the grain crops across the land. In response, the government authorized distribution of food from the provincial emergency grain supplies. The Tohoku region in the northeast had very little rice-growing land compared to the rest of the nation, however, and we believe that their emergency supplies were far below what would be needed to avert severe hardship for the common castes in Dewa and Mutsu provinces. I mentioned in Episode 4, The First Shogun, that most of the Emishi rebellions after their quote-unquote subjugation by Sakano Ue Tamura Maro would look more like regional risings than mass rebellions. The resulting Gangyo War was a combination of the two, a series of regional risings that coalesced into a mass rebellion. A little background is necessary to understand the roots of this conflict. Long ago, the court had created two different designations for the indigenous Amishi people. Those who adopted Yamato culture and made an effort to assimilate were referred to as the Fushu, and those who maintained their traditional ways of life were labeled as Ifu. The Ifu Amishi in Dewa Province had been dissatisfied with the governance of their local magistrate for several years before this crisis, and the food shortage of 878 was their breaking point. The hilltop fort of Akita-jo was their initial target. They organized en masse and charged the fortifications, quickly overwhelming the defenders and even driving off the commander of the garrison before setting its structures alight. It seems the Yamato soldiers stationed there were taken completely by surprise. Whatever grain stores the fort possessed were quickly looted and the emptied warehouses put to the torch. When word reached the court of what had happened, orders were dispatched to raise troops from neighboring Mutsu province, as well as the northerly Kanto provinces of Shimotsuke and Kozuke. The mustered Yamato army is believed to have been around 4,000 soldiers, while the insurgent Ifu Emishi were only around 2,000. The forces met near the Akita River in April, but the area was engulfed in thick fog, which enabled the insurgents to organize cascading ambushes, which resulted in a humiliating loss for the Imperial Army and another victory for the growing rebel forces. This was a significant material victory for the insurgents as well. They were said to have recovered hundreds of suits of armor, around 1,500 horses, and the army's considerable supply of rice. At this point, the northern half of Dewa Province was essentially an autonomous zone, free of imperial interference of any kind. The rebels dug in their heels, occupying villages and preparing themselves for an impending campaign. Once more troops were raised from nearby provinces, and the army now placed under the command of Fujiwara Yasunori, who had just been named as governor of Dewa Province. Among his sub-commanders was one Sakanoue Yoshikage, a descendant of the famous shogun Sakanoue Tamuramaro. Yasunori brought a special reserve of rice from the court along with his army, and he ordered his commanders to make a show of force near the north so the Ifu could see the court's resolve. I don't think he had any intention of actually engaging the rebel groups, but was probably just trying to save face. He distributed some of the grain dole among the people of southern Dewa and made overtures to the rebel leaders that he was a compassionate governor who would help the people in these times of trouble. Between the two options of waging a years-long resistance campaign and giving the new guy a shot, the Ifu laid down their arms and accepted imperial hegemony once more. Fujiwara Yasunori deserves a lot of credit for peacefully ending the destructive war without resorting to the massive armies and budget shortfalls of the late 700s. Later Japanese historians would praise him as a wise and clever leader and would think it a great pity that his energy was directed into provincial leadership rather than the Daijo Daikon. Considering Mototsune's grip on the reins of power and his determination to keep those reins firmly within his grasp, Yasunori probably made the wiser choice in not getting too entangled in court matters. This particular dust-up with the Emishi is called the Gangyo War, Gangyo being the era name chosen for Emperor Yose's reign. The same year of the conflict, 878, was also when retired Emperor Seiwa officially entered the Buddhist priesthood. In 881, Emperor Seiwa died at age 30. While Regent Fujiwara Mototsune was directing government affairs, it seems young Emperor Yose was developing some unsavory interests. According to various accounts, the boy would often feed frogs to snakes and enjoy the spectacles of animal suffering. He reportedly arranged for animals to fight one another and even directly participated in the executions of criminals. In 880, Mototsune was appointed as Daijo Daijin, or Chancellor, and seems to have grown increasingly alarmed at stories of Yosei Tenno's depravity. The accounts of Emperor Yosei's harmful behavior sometimes invite speculation and even assumption regarding the presence of mental illness. I remain unconvinced of any specific diagnosis, and it occurs to me that children who are raised with absolute power sometimes act out in disturbing ways because they can. I would urge future historians to resist the temptation of attributing such behavior to mental illness, especially considering the current stigma against mental illness in many cultures and the harmful marginalization of the neuroatypical. Whatever his motivations, Emperor Yosei is reported to have gotten much worse throughout the early 880s. He became abusive to the palace staff, shouting at them and sometimes even drawing a sword and chasing them. In 882, Fujiwara Mototsune offered his resignation to the emperor, who refused. This was probably less of an ultimatum and more of a threat to remove the political protection which Mototsune's presence afforded. Repeatedly, he tried to advise the boy to find non-destructive hobbies he could engage in, and repeatedly Emperor Yosei followed his own habits instead. In 883, the son of his wet nurse, a young man named Minamoto Susumu, was found dead on palace grounds, and while the court could not rule out some kind of accident, it was widely whispered that Emperor Yosei had beaten him to death. There is another incident, possibly apocryphal, where Fujiwara Mototsune discovered Emperor Yosei playing a disturbing game. One group of peasants were forced to climb trees, and another group was forced to try and fatally knock them to the ground with long spears. Whatever the truth, in 884, Fujiwara Mototsune decided to act. Killing was still considered an act of pollution, and for the sovereign's divinity to become potentially polluted by such actions was not in any way acceptable. Mototsune first approached Prince Tsunesada, who you might remember as the reluctant crown prince from Episode 8, The Rise of the Fujiwara, and offered him the crown. Prince Tsunesada politely and predictably refused. He had become a Buddhist monk since his days avoiding coronation, and he was not eager to re-enter a world he had worked so hard to extract himself from. Next on the list was Prince Tokiyasu, the third son of Emperor Nimyo, who was now 54 years old. The prince accepted. The only thing left for Mototsune to do was remove the sitting emperor. The story goes that Mototsune offered to arrange a horse race for the emperor to enjoy, and the young Tenno eagerly agreed to attend. They left the palace together in a carriage, and at the prearranged place, armed guards loyal to Mototsune surrounded them. The vehicle was redirected to a distant palace. When they arrived, the regent explained to the sovereign that he was being dethroned and that his behavior was the cause. Emperor Yosei openly wept at this announcement, and many of the guards were moved by this display of contrition. Nevertheless, they confined the emperor to the palace while Mototsune returned to the capital and explained the situation to the court. This is where things get a little interesting. Minamoto Toru, the Kuge whom Genji Hikaru is believed to be based upon, objected to Mototsune's choice of replacement for the sovereign, saying that because he himself was the 12th son of Emperor Saga, that he had a better claim to become the next Tenno than Prince Tokiyasu. Mototsune countered that because Toru had been given the surname Minamoto, that he was ineligible to inherit the chrysanthemum throne. One of the court counselors, or Sangi, named Fujiwara Morofuji, at this point clarified the issue. He threatened to have anyone who disagreed with Mototsune's plan killed. This seemed to resolve the matter, and the court agreed that Prince Tokiyasu would take the throne. While Emperor Yosei was now a Daijo Tenno, a retired emperor, he would remain something of an urban legend during the considerably long remaining span of his life. The stories about him, that he would garrote random women at night, that he purposefully trampled people with his horse, that he had escaped into the mountains to chase the boar and the sacred Sika deer, are almost certainly the stuff of legends. In fact, some historians believe that all of the accounts of Yose's criminal, violent mischief may have been fabricated after the fact to justify Fujiwara Mototsune's action in dethroning the young man. Whatever the case, Emperor Yose would live another 65 years after he had been retired, a record that no emperor before or since would break. Prince Tokiyasu took the throne in 884 and is remembered as Emperor Koko. Koko Tenno continued generally allowing Fujiwara Mototsune to deal with matters of government, and I believe that this is the point where it was decided that Mototsune needed a new title. A sessho was specifically an office of regent meant for underaged Tenno, hardly appropriate since Emperor Koko was 56. Thus, the office of Kampaku was created, a regent who could govern on behalf of adult sovereigns. Some accounts indicate that the title of Kampaku was created in 880, but I believe that the beginning of Emperor Koko's reign makes more sense. I could certainly be wrong. Emperor Koko was less concerned with big-picture governance than he was with reviving some of the rituals and customs that had gone by the wayside in recent years. He went hawking, a custom that had been essentially extinct for about 50 years. He encouraged the promotion of sumo wrestling, and practiced fine arts such as the 13-string koto, which is a type of floor harp. He also ordered construction of a new temple to the northwest of the city, but he did not live to see it break ground. He was an elegant Tenno, a scholar and poet at heart, and though his reign was short, he seems to have been well-respected. He died in 887, just 3 years after taking the throne. One of his younger sons, Prince Sadami, took the throne next, and is remembered as Emperor Uda. Many of Koko Tenno's descendants had been demoted into their own branch of the Minamoto clan during his tenure, and many of his older sons had died before their father had been made the sovereign. As part of the arrangement, Uda Tenno was married to one of Mototsune's daughters, even though the new emperor himself was not of Fujiwara blood at all. The new emperor was 21 years old, but Mototsune wanted to retain both offices of chancellor and regent. Unfortunately for Emperor Uda, his reign would not begin as well as he might have hoped, and a misunderstanding will disrupt matters at court far worse than any Eimishi uprising could ever hope to do. Next time, we will explore the reign of Uda Tenno and its first scandal, the Akko incident. Until then, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @ahistoryofjapan. Visit the online store, ahistoryofjapan.threadless.com, and find us on the web, ahistoryofjapan.com.